Chapter 16, 2 Chronicles, beginning at the opening verse. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, and let his work cease. Then Asa, the king, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from thenceforth, thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices, prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as you have seen from our Bible reading, we're back to consider the life of King Asa. And in the chapter we looked at before, chapter 14, we noted what a mighty man he was. A man of God, a man of prayer, a man of faith, a man who walked with God and was a wonderful blessing as a king to his people. And we learned how God answered prayer for him to defeat a million-man army with horses and chariots, and gave to King Asa a mighty victory. If you look at the end of chapter 15, you will see that his good reign lasted for 35 years. 35 years he was the king of Judah. And if you were to read chapter 15, you would see that he went from strength to strength, not only physically, but spiritually. A man who built the altar, a man who sought to do what was right in the sight of God. But at the end of that 35th year, it's a kind of the bottom fell out of it all, and this man went from the peak right to the pit. He went right from a man of God to follow his example to a beacon warning to everyone who would read this account. And it shows us that the very best of men can begin well and end very miserably. Something came along to spoil the blessing. And that can happen in our lives too. And we can be reduced from being godly, Christ-like, a living testimony of righteousness, to one who not only has the fly come into the ointment, but his life is filled with rottenness. That would be a terrible, terrible tragedy. Now, could it happen to us? I note the year that this happened. It happened in the 36th year. If you look at the opening verse, chapter 16, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. Now that spoke to my heart because in 1 month time, I will have just completed 35 years preaching here in Surrey. 35 years of ministry. And we can say that God has been our helper. God has provided a people. I've never been without a people. We always lament the empty seats, and we lament a whole lot of things about people should come more frequently and more zealously. We may have those, but we've never had an empty church. Always had a people to preach to. And that's God's goodness. The Lord has given us this building. He has given us men and women to serve the Lord and do the heavy lifting in this church. And we're thankful for each one of you and those who are faithful and regular. And here we are today still preaching 35 years later. But alas, we learn right here in this passage that one cannot think he standeth. He must take heed lest he fall. And we must be on our guard. And so here is a word for me today. It's a word that I must listen to, and I pray it will be a word for your own heart as well. Now we're going to learn here about God's controversy with Asa. And we will look firstly at the reason for God's displeasure with Asa. What went wrong? How could this man lose out so much and so quickly after a life of such consistency and such a walk and service for God? Well, the story of Asa's is a long one. He had 10 years. Way back in chapter 14, we learned about 10 years when there were no wars at all. He was a man of peace. He was able to build. Things prospered, went along very smoothly. And then came the threat of the Ethiopians. And if you read the early part of chapter 14, how they came with a million-man army, 300 chariots, and this was a huge threat to Asa and to his kingdom. And in verse 11, he prayed that great prayer, chapter 14, 11. It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And a couple of weeks ago, we sang that hymn, Finlandia, resting on the Lord. And so we got the message that God is honored and God is exalted when we rely and lean upon him. And so that was a great victory, and God defeated these Ethiopians, and peace came again to the nation, to the king. And he went on from strength to strength And chapter 15 is a chapter of spiritual building, spiritual blessing. But now what happens? From the north, Syria, a small nation, there comes this Baasha, king of Israel, and he comes to fight against Judah. Now, there's a little bit of history you need to be aware of to pick up on this, and that is the divided kingdom, the 12 tribes, the two and a half tribes that were Judah, and the 10 tribes to the north that were Israel. And that happened after Solomon with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and you have the divided kingdom. The northern kingdom is Israel. The southern kingdom is Judah. David was the king of Judah. And you have a whole series of kings of Israel. In the north were the apostates. They were idolaters. They turned to wicked things. And they always sought opportunity to bring Judah down. And here is this Baasha, king of Israel. We're told in verse 1 that he came up against Judah. Now, this Israelite king had a relatively small army. Nothing like the Ethiopians. He came with his men, and he said to the king of Syria, in verse 2, Ben-Hadad, break your league with Judah and take my gold and my money and fight for us. Join me in seeking to defeat Judah. And so he did. And verse 4, Ben-Hadad hearkened unto Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel and smote Ajon. Well, this didn't go very well. Now, just let me get this straight. It was Asa who said to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, take my gold, my money, and fight for me, and rid me of this threat of the king of Israel. And so you see where he went wrong. That instead of relying on the Lord, he relied on his money and his physical power to buy the help of Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to bring his army to relieve him from the pressure of the king from the north. And so it seemed a good plan. And you know what? It worked. It worked. Militarily, it worked. They were able to rout the Israelites to the north. And it says in verse 5, it came to pass when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah. So they gained their cities, they rebuilt again, and it seemed to be a wonderful plan that worked so very well. But he had relied on his gold, buying the help of a heathen king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, that he might be preserved from this threat. Now, did God like that? Was that a good thing in the eyes of the Lord? Well, God sent a prophet. You'll read of that in verse 7. Hanani, the seer. Now, when you read of a seer in the Old Testament, it's a prophet, someone who sees into God's mind. And he was sent to Asa by God, and he was to give him this message. Let's read the message in verse 7. Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. We're not the Ethiopians and the Lubims. He's going to way back now to the previous battle. That million-man army of the Ethiopians with chariots and horsemen. Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. And so the question is, why did you not come back to me again? Why did you not continue to rely on me? And verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. And so here is the word for us. Thou hast not relied on thy God. And there was no answer to this. There was no refutation. There was no way he could explain it off. He had simply neglected to trust the Lord, and he trusted in man. And that was his folly. That was the thing that grieved God. And God got his message through to Asa, through the prophet Hanani, unmistakably and clearly. And here is a word for us. And here is something that we need to face up to. We can begin well. We can be men and women of prayer in the past. We can be full of faith, full of zeal, and live in the strength of the Lord. And then in some new situation, some new chapter in our walk with God, we cease to rely on the Lord, and we begin to rely on men. Now, how can this be measured? How can you even know if this has happened in our hearts and lives? Well, it can be measured by our prayer life. Because the thing to note is that in chapter 14, when Asa was threatened by the Ethiopians, he prayed that great prayer. It is nothing with thee to help with many or few, or with them that have no power. And he cried to God. But in chapter 16, when he had a threat from Israel, no prayer. There's not a mention in chapter 16 that he cried out to the Lord for guidance, for direction, or for help from heaven. No such mention. And so you and I need to consider our own prayer life. That will be the gauge. That will be the telltale sign. If we are today continuing to rely on the Lord, and just let's ask the question, are we bringing our problems and our needs, the crises of our lives, to the Lord? Do we pray about them? Is that the first thing we think about whenever we have a need? Do we call on the Lord and get our Bibles and open them at some promise or some chapter for guidance and say, Lord, I know not what to do, but my eyes are upon you. I'm trusting in your way and your help in this situation. If you're doing that on a regular basis, then we can say, well, at least I haven't yet fallen into the trap of Asa. But then, of course, there's always the temptation of shortening things down. There may be a time when you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, but that may have been a while, and you have ceased to pray with all your heart, and maybe you've given up prayer. Maybe you've given up the place of prayer. Maybe you were a leader in prayer, and others heard your prayers. But where are your prayers today? As I read here of King Asa, and in this 16th chapter, I ask that question, where is the prayer of Asa? I actually went looking in chapter 16 for the prayer of Asa, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find one word of prayer. If someone was to look for prayer in your life, would they find it? Would they know where you pray? Would they know when you pray? Would they know how you pray? Would you know that you have that definite time with God to seek his face, relying on the Lord? And poor Asa, the temptation was, well, I can come up with a military plan of my own. And the thing is, it worked. And that's the subtlety of this. Because we can cease to rely on the Lord on things, and we can trust our own judgment, and they might work. But we still grieve the Lord. We still displease the Lord. And so this is the big reason for God's displeasure. And I also want to speak to you on the cost of not relying on the Lord. And we can only cringe at the stupidity of Asa for not going back to trust in the God who had helped him so marvelously in the past, bringing an end to the threat of the Ethiopians and bringing him back into the place of peace and of blessing. And in that event, God was glorified. You can imagine the praises, the songs, the prayers that went up in praise to the God of heaven who had preserved Judah from their enemies. Now, note the tone in verse 9 in chapter 16. This is an amazing text here, and I've highlighted it in my Bible, and it's certainly a verse you want to be able to find when you require it. 2 Chronicles 16:9. And you'll note the tone of this. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, if you look at the tone of this, God delights to help. God is just waiting on your cry for help. His eyes run to and fro through the whole earth. But he didn't get that request from Asa. And God said at the end of the verse, henceforth thou shalt have wars. And so this cost Asa. In real terms, God said, if you don't want my help, okay, I leave you to your own defenses. Go on, look after yourself. You want freedom? You want your independence? You go on, you've got it. But for Asa, it cost him wars. And if you look on down in verse 12, you'll see it also cost him disease in the 39th year of his reign. You see how these things developed over time? It was in the 36th year that he made that awful mistake, awful sin of not trusting the Lord, seeking the help of men, withholding prayer. And it cost him wars, and later it cost him health.
Often my heart longed to pray. I was a sinner, so what could I say? Then I was told of the blood cleansing way. Open by Jesus, my Lord. I found the way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God. There by his power over sin I prevail. I can walk in the path that he trod. There in the presence of Jesus I stand, glorified Son at the Father's right hand. There I can plead, I can claim, I can have all that he purchased for me. now I have found Calvary's cleansing abound.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Our hearts can very quickly fall into a prayerless condition. And that is the mark of our apostasy, when the world takes over, when attractions and distractions begin to rule our lives. We need then to return to the Lord, and we need to find our peace and strength again in Him. And so I do ask you to check your own prayer life. Do you pray as you once prayed? Do you seek God with all your heart and with all your soul and mind, as you once did? Then let that be a warning that you need to return unto the Lord. Don't go on down the slippery slope of backsliding, but rather today turn and seek the Lord with all your heart. The Lord promises, and if you read Jeremiah chapter 3, there are many, many promises to the backslider, if we return unto him, that the Lord will return unto us, that there will be a reviving and a renewing and a restoring of our souls when we seek the Lord again with all our hearts. So don't go on in a prayerless condition. Don't let anyone else do your praying for you. You must seek the Lord personally and pray with all your heart. And praise God, there's mercy, and we must plead mercy for those years that the locusts have eaten, or the way that we have allowed the world to reign within our hearts. And the Lord will have mercy. There will be restoration, and there will be rejoicing in your heart when you are brought back into sweet and wonderful fellowship in the Lord's presence. I pray for that. May God bless you. And if I can be of any personal help to you, feel free to give me a call. All the announcements are coming up now. Stay tuned. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.